Chicago Motor Club presents The Wayside Theater. Welcome to The Wayside Theater, ladies and gentlemen. The Chicago Motor Club plans this dramatic half hour for your radio enjoyment once a week. But there isn't a single minute of the week when the club doesn't have your motoring enjoyment in mind. And that's been going on for 33 years. Today, 78,000 member families depend on the Chicago Motor Club for the instant solution of every problem connected with owning and driving a car. It doesn't matter where a member is when those problems arise, because the Chicago Motor Club is the only club in this territory affiliated with the AAA, the American Automobile Association. That important tie-up means that members are a part of 1,000 other automobile clubs in this country. What's more, the club's international alliance assures motoring protection and service to members traveling abroad. That in itself is enough to make a membership worthwhile. But there are 25 other benefits, too, and they're all explained in the club's free booklet. If you live in Illinois or Indiana, just send your name and address to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or its nearest branch office. In Chicago, phone Franklin 1818. That free booklet is yours for the asking. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Wayside Theater presents the first act of tonight's play, Love in a Taxi.
You mean you don't have anything for me, Mr. Stokes?
I'm sorry, Larry, but I can't use anyone that hasn't specialized. An AB degree doesn't count for much these days. It's specialization and actual experience that counts in this day and age. Now, if you can get a couple of years' experience in this field and then come round, I think I could use you.
Sorry, Bannister, I'd like to help you, but nothing open at present.
I don't care if you did graduate with all B's. I can't use you.
No job here.
No, nothing doing.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Hello, Mac.
Hiya, pal.
Well, Mac, there she is, and all mine.
Hey, you mean she's all paid for?
Every cent. I made the last payment this morning.
Hey, that's swell.
Mac, my boy, you see before you Larry Bannister, possessor of a nice, shiny, second-hand taxi that's going to make him his fortune.
Yeah, fortune? Hey, now look, pal, I tried to talk you out of this taxi business. I explained to you that $15 a week clear is top.
$15 a week is a fortune, Mac. Especially after pounding the pavement for almost a year without making a cent.
Okay, but this taxi business is a tough racket. Don't ever say I didn't warn you.
I'm full of fight and raring to go, Mac. So bring on your tough customers.
Hey, look. Holy mackerel, it's your cab. Oh. Somebody ran into it.
Oh, my taxi. My beautiful taxi.
Come on, let's grab the guy that rammed it.
Yeah.
A dame. You might know it would be a dame that would do it.
I don't like that nasty little insinuation.
That was no insinuation, lady. That was a statement of fact.
Now, look. Would you mind telling me just how, out of 10,000 taxis in New York, you selected mine?
Well, I just didn't see it.
You didn't see it? Well, just what were you looking at? Your pug nose in the rearview mirror?
That's not the least bit funny.
Now, you listen to me.
Oh, no, you listen to me, you two gorillas. I haven't the slightest intention of giving you any explanation of any sort. Now then, if you'll unhook my bumper out of your spark plugs, I'll leave.
Oh, so it's just as simple as that, eh? Well, my decadent debutante, you've got another guest coming. Do you know that you've just wrecked the first job I've been able to land since I left college a year ago?
You don't seem to make a bit of sense.
I don't, eh? Well, maybe you can understand this. I'm broke. I paid my last cent to buy that hack. And you think you can wreck my taxi, wreck my career, and then simply drive off without so much as...
Oh, well, I didn't know the car belonged to you.
You didn't know it belonged to me? What do you think I've been screaming my head off for, a friend?
Well, I thought it belonged to some big corporation or something, and they could just sue me, and that'd be all.
Yeah, and since it doesn't belong to a big soulless corporation...
Oh, I'll fix it up for you. You just have it repaired and send me the bill.
And how do you think I'm going to make a living while my cab's laid up in a garage?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
No, no, of course not. You pampered darlings from Park Avenue get behind the wheels of your high-powered car, step on the accelerator, and then depend on your checkbook to keep you out of trouble.
Oh, please. Now, I really am sorry about this. How much money would you want?
To forget the whole thing.
Well, yes.
Yeah, you see? You see, the old checkbook complex. You think anything can be fixed by a check? You can't understand the sentiment I had for that car. That car was a symbol to me. A symbol of my emancipation. A symbol of...
All right, if you're so high-minded about money, how do you propose fixing this up?
Don't be a sucker. Take the dough. Take the dough.
Mac, I'm disappointed in you.
Well?
Well, here's the situation. It's okay for you to pay for the damages to my car, but I need something to hack in for the next week.
So?
One solution would be for me to use your car till mine's fixed.
What? Well, I never heard of such a thing. This is an important car. It has a custom-built body made specially for me.
Okay, okay. I'm sorry. I guess I made a mistake about you.
A mistake about me?
Yes. I thought maybe you had a little sporting blood in you. A sense of decency and fair play. But I was wrong, I guess. You're no different than all the rest of them. Well, get out your checkbook, if that's your way.
Well, if I give you my car to use, how do I know you won't run off?
You don't. You have to trust me.
All right, then. You can have the car for a week.
What? Say, maybe I did misjudge you.
Don't bother to change your opinions, because I really don't care what you think anyway. You're an insufferable egotist.
Yeah, now you sound more natural.
There's one condition to this deal, however. You have to drive me around from 10 to midnight any evening I may need you.
Oh, now wait a minute. I'm not going to be your lackey or chauffeur.
I'll pay you the regular taxi rates.
Well, that's different.
Is it a deal?
It's a deal.
Here are the keys. I want you at my home tonight at 10 o'clock. Here's my card with the address. And please come without your usual assortment of sermons, because they're awfully boring.
Why, you little...
Not in front of a lady, please.
You know, somebody should do something about you.
Please, don't get any illusions about yourself just because I'm loaning you my car. And please be on time tonight. I detest tardy people. Well, goodbye. I'll see you at 10.
Well, I'll be...
Gina, I never heard of such a thing. You don't know who this fellow is or anything about him.
Here he comes now. At least he didn't run off with my car, as you predicted.
Good evening.
Good evening. You're right on time.
That's right.
Take us to the plantation club, please.
Right.
Really, Gina, I must protest against.
He'll hear you.
I don't care if he does. He probably has you down as an easy mark and intends to...
All right, Philip, I made a mistake. You were right and I was wrong. Now, let's forget about
it. It's that very attitude I object to.
What attitude?
The way you say it. I can tell you're just trying to shut me up.
For once you're right, Philip. I am trying to shut you up.
Well, you shan't. Not until this thing is thrashed out and you promise to stop all these crazy stunts.
Philip, I explained to you. I smashed his cab. It was entirely my fault. I had to help him out, didn't I?
You see, we don't seem to be getting any place.
No, we don't.
Why don't you give up this aimless sort of life you've been leading? Really, you should marry me, you know. You need a steadying hand. You need the benefit of my age and experience, Tina. Stop the car! Stop this car at once! Now, come, Jean. We aren't going to ride with this maniac another block.
Really, Mr. Bannister, you're driving very badly.
What in blazes is the idea?
Well, I'll explain. You see, we cabbies hear some mighty funny stuff from our customers, but we can't laugh because the customer might get mad. So when I feel an urge to laugh, I just take a corner on two wheels.
Well, really, Mr. Bannister, this is too much.
Are you going to marry him?
I can't see that it's any of your business.
But you can't marry that stuffed shirt.
I'll not stay and be insulted another minute. Come, Jean.
He's a bore. Can't you see it, Jean? He's not interested in you except as a fixture for his house.
I demand you discharge this man at
once.
You
must listen to me. You're young and beautiful and spontaneous. Why, he'll make you old.
You interfering busybody.
Stop it, both of you. Philip, I'll tell you for the last time, I'm not interested in society, and I don't care what you or anybody else thinks about it.
Oh, that's fine.
And you... If I'd wanted any advice on running my life, I'd have asked for it. Mr. Bannister, you're fired.
Fired?
Fired. Now get out of my car.
Jean.
Get out, both of you. From now on, I'm running my own car and my own life, too.
The first act of Love in a Taxi comes to a close. Your attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's a problem sometimes to figure out just how to be sure of holding the interest of a radio audience when a message of real importance is about to be given. I might blow a police whistle, or fire off a gun, or blast you out of your chairs with a fire siren. But that's taking unfair advantage, I'm afraid. So I'll just repeat, your attention, please, if you own and drive a car. The Chicago Motor Club includes a $1,000 personal accident policy in its membership at no extra cost. With each year's membership renewal, that policy increases in value until in its sixth year,
It's worth $1,500. Now, that's a mighty generous insurance policy, friends. And remember, it's included at no extra cost. It provides for payment if a member is killed while driving, walking, or while riding in a car driven by another. Think what that money might mean to your own family. We all know that when unexpected tragedy strikes, our grief-stricken families are faced with the added burden of making every dollar count. I wish I had time to tell you real-life instances where the club's personal accident policy has actually saved families from serious necessity and has given them the courage they need at a time of sorrow and stress. This one benefit and protection alone is more than worth the small annual membership fee, aside from all the other 25 money-saving services. You owe it to yourself and your family to at least read about the Chicago Motor Club's amazing motoring advantages in a free booklet, yours for the asking, without charge or obligation. Now, just to make sure you write the club or call Franklin 1818 tonight, we're going to give you an immediate opportunity a little later on in this program. Between the second and third acts of tonight's play, we'll have a musical intermission instead of our regular announcement. You can use that time to write the club or phone Franklin 1818 and ask for your free booklet without delay or inconvenience. And now the second act of Love in a Taxi.
Yes, sir, Mac, and with those big blue eyes of hers flashing fire, she climbs into her car and drives away, leaving me in the stuffed shirt standing there, open-mouthed.
And you ain't seen the dame since?
Nope, but I will, because I have a plan.
Oh, now look, pal, she'll get you into more trouble. Why don't you call things quit? You got your cab fixed up and a little money left over. You made a profit out of her. What more do you want?
I want to marry her.
Maybe I'm getting hard of hearing, but it sounded just like you said I want to marry her.
I did. I'm in love, Mac. I see her in my sleep. I think of her all day long.
Wait a minute now. I got some advice for you.
No, sorry, Mac. All I need from you now is a little help.
What can I do?
Well, isn't there something you can swipe out of an automobile that'll keep the engine from running?
Sure, lots of things. You could swipe the distributor cap.
Okay. Now, I want you to swipe the distributor cap out of her car.
Yeah. What for?
So her car won't run. So she'll have to take a taxi.
Oh, I get it. Well, how do you know she'll take your cab?
Because, Mac, I'll shadow her. I'll follow her day and night, and whenever she needs transportation, there I'll be.
Well, what's that going to get you?
I don't know, Mac. I don't know. But it might get me a wife.
What's the matter with this car? Oh, darn it, just when I'm in a hurry. Henry!
Yes, Miss Jean.
Call the garage and tell them the car won't start.
Right away, Miss Jean.
I'll take a taxi. Taxi!
Yeah, taxi, lady?
Savoy Plaza, please. And hurry.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, what's going on at the Savoy this afternoon?
Why, it's tea for Lady Twillam. Why do you ask?
Oh, I have a much better plan.
You have a plan? Wait a minute. Your voice sounds familiar to me. Would you mind turning around a minute so I can see your face?
Why don't we go for a ride up the Hudson? Swell this time of year. Have you ever seen the George Washington Bridge on a day like this? It looks like a
will
giant...
Will you please turn around?
Hmm?
So, it's you.
What? Why, Miss Jean Williams. Well, bless my soul, I didn't know it was you.
Not much you didn't.
You know, I was just saying to myself this morning, Larry, I said, this Williams gal really has something, if it could only be brought out.
Stop this cab.
Oh, now, look, don't be angry. I only wanted to apologize for the other night.
No apologies are necessary. I understand perfectly.
But you don't. I wasn't trying to tell you how to run your life.
Not much you weren't. Every time I see you, you interfere with my plans. Now stop this car.
I'll not stop it until you listen to me. Hey, wait. Hey, what are you doing?
I'm going to jump.
Don't do that. I'll stop the car. You pig-headed little fool. Don't you realize you might have been killed? I ought to spank you. No, no, wait. Now, I didn't mean to say that. I was upset, that's all. Hey, Gene. Gene, come back. I'll take it, old lady Twillum's tea. I'll take any place you want to go.
Did the garage man arrive yesterday to fix this car?
Yes, Miss Jean. It was running like a top last night.
Well, it won't run this morning. What did he find wrong with it?
He said that somebody must have stolen part of the ignition system, I think it was.
Stolen it? I wonder why anybody'd want to see it. Wait a minute.
Yes, Miss Jean.
I think I'm beginning to see the light. Now, listen, Henry, you call that garage. Tell him that thing's gone again.
Yeah. Thieves, you think?
Yes, Henry, thieves. Yes, Henry, we should. That's where I'm going right now, to the police station.
I don't like this, Larry.
Now, look, you aren't going back on me, are you, Mac?
No, it ain't that.
Well, what is it, then?
Well, if the dame ain't giving you a tumble yet, swiping part of her car every night sure ain't going to make her like you none the better.
Ah, you don't understand women, Mac. You have to wear some of the stubborn ones down. Yeah. Persistence is what does it. If you keep it up long enough, they begin to say to themselves, hey, this guy must really love me or he wouldn't spend all his time chasing me around.
Oh.
Then, as soon as they're convinced that you love them, well, then it's no time at all before they fall in love with you. No time at all. Yeah. What happened?
I got a shot. Hey, he had something hooked up to that distributor cap.
It's a burglar alarm they had hooked up. Come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah, and fast.
Throw up your hands.
The cops.
Come on up with them.
Now you see what that dame got us into.
Just keep your mouth shut, Mac, and I'll get us out of this.
All right, Dugan, turn off that alarm. So you're the two that's been prowling in here and committing sabotage.
Hey, look here, copper. You can't call me that. All I did
Mac,
was...
Mac. Shut up, you fool.
Well, ain't no cop going to call me those kind of names and get away with it.
As a matter of fact, officer, you've made a grave mistake.
A mistake, eh?
Yeah, we're employees of Miss Williams. You see, this is Jeeves, her mechanic, and I am her, her chauffeur.
Now, ain't that a likely story? Come on, let's get going.
Now, wait a minute, officer. I tell you, we work for Miss Williams. You take me to jail and I'll sue you for false arrest.
Shut up, the both of you. You can save the rest of it for the judge.
Well, now, look here. If you don't believe me, why don't you ask Miss Williams herself?
That's not a bad idea. And here she comes now.
Good evening, Sergeant.
Good evening to you, Miss Williams. We caught your thieves, all right.
So I see.
Oh, good evening, Miss Williams. This is a joke, eh, what? This bloody constable here mistook Jeeves and myself for some interlopers. Comical, don't you think?
What's he talking about, Sergeant?
You got me, miss. Something about his being your chauffeur and the other one there being your mechanic.
Yes, I was out here wiping down the cars you instructed, Miss Williams, and Jeeves here came along to tune up the motor when...
Well, do they work for you or not, Miss Williams?
Of course not.
That settles it then. Okay, you mugs, let's go.
Hey, cut it out. Who are you pushing?
Yes, that's the good one on you, Sergeant. Okay, Gene, tell him who I am. Oh, boy, that was funny. Go on, tell him who I am.
How can I? I never saw you before in my life.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Hey, I'm sorry for the way I've acted, but don't do this to me. I mean, after all, that'd be going a little bit too far, don't you think?
Get going, you two. Come on.
You aren't going to send me to prison. Tell him who I am. Gene, I'll reform. I'll go to Africa. I'll do anything you want. Gene!
The second act of Love in a Taxi comes to a close. Ladies and gentlemen, before we continue with the third act of tonight's play, we're going to present an opportunity rarely given to radio audiences. The Chicago Motor Club urges you to ask for its valuable free booklet right while this program is going on. You won't miss any of the play, and you won't be delayed or inconvenienced. We'll have a musical intermission right now, giving you ample time to ask for your free booklet. While our orchestra plays, just write down your name and address if you live in Illinois or Indiana and have it all ready to mail to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or its nearest branch office. If you live in Chicago, simply call Franklin 1818 immediately. Now here we go, friends, a musical intermission while you write the club or call Franklin 1818.
ladies and gentlemen, the third act of Love in a Taxi.
Mac, if we ever get out of this jail, and if I ever so much as look at another woman...
Hey, which one of you is Larry Banister?
I am. Why?
You got a visitor.
Yeah, who is it?
Said her name is Williams. Miss Williams.
Don't know her.
Huh? You mean you don't want to see her?
That's exactly what I mean.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Larry.
Did somebody speak to me, Mac?
Yeah. A dame.
Oh, a dame, huh? Anybody we know?
No. Never saw her before in our lives.
Please, now, I want to talk to you, Larry.
Mac, will you explain to the lady that we don't talk to strangers?
Now, stop it and listen to me. I've come to get you out.
Will you repeat that, please?
I said I'm going to get you out.
And what occasion, the change of heart?
Well, I only intended to keep you in jail overnight. I figured it would teach you a lesson.
Why, you dizzy dame.
Quiet, Mac. So you were teaching us a lesson.
Well, now, really, Larry, you must admit you needed it.
Do you remember once when you told me how you hated people who tried to run your life for you?
Yes.
Well, then you must know how I feel right now. I hate these smug, complacent people that get you into disagreeable situations and then smirk and say, I did it for your own good.
Oh, now, I don't blame you for being angry, but...
Angry? I'm not angry. My eyes are open for the first time, that's all. I see now what kind of person you really are.
But I'm going to get you out.
And you think that makes everything square, I suppose. No, thank you. I'll stay in and serve my 15 to 20 years.
Oh, they don't give you that much for stealing
a distributor head, lady.
A distributor head?
I don't know what prison sentence I'll get, but it makes no difference. I'd be more able to lead my own life in jail than I would outside if you got it into your head to do anything more for my own good.
Oh, now you're talking like a
keeper. Keeper.
Yeah, well, what's all the fuss about?
Keeper, this lady wants to be shown the way out.
Larry Bannister, you are the most stubborn, ungrateful...
Sure, the same to you and many of them.
Oh, I never want to speak to you again. Never.
And Keeper, don't let her in here again. My partner and I need a little rest and quiet.
Case of the people of the state of New York versus Larry Bannister and Mac Simpson.
Your Honor, may I speak to you, please?
What is it? Who are you?
I'm the defendant. I'm the prosecutor. I'm Jean Williams.
Yes?
Well, I've decided to withdraw charges against these two men.
Why are you doing that, Miss Williams?
Well, I just am, that's all.
Now, see here, Miss Williams. Yesterday, you charged these men with breaking and entering and with burglary. If these men are criminals, they should be locked up.
Oh, they're not criminals, Your Honor. Really, they aren't. Larry Bannister's a very fine
bailiff,
man.
Bailiff, bring the prisoners before the bar.
Oh, please set him free, Your Honor. I only had him put in to teach him a lesson. I had to do something to show him he couldn't interfere in my life. But now...
Yeah, and now?
Well, now I don't mind his interfering.
Yeah, I'm beginning to understand this case.
Here's the prisoners, Your Honor.
Oh, Larry, I'm so glad to see you.
Yes, I can imagine.
And you two realize, I suppose, that you were to be tried today on rather a serious charge?
Oh, we was framed, Your Honor. This dame here...
Shut up, Mac. I'll handle this.
However, the state star witness, Miss Jean Williams, has decided to withdraw all charges, so I have no alternative but to set you free.
Just a minute, Your Honor. My partner and I have suffered both mental and physical anguish because of this arrest. And we'd like to know the reason that prompted Miss Williams to drop the case. Does she not admit that we were employed by her and had a right to be in the garage the night we were arrested?
Do you admit that these men were employed by you, Miss Williams?
Well,
answer yes or no. Were these men employed by you?
Well, yes, Your Honor. That's why I'm withdrawing all charges.
Then, Your Honor, I ask that you place Miss Jean Williams under arrest.
Oh,
Order! Order in the courtroom! Mr. Bannister, on what grounds do you ask this?
She's guilty of causing a false arrest, of defamation of character, and of perjury. If I was in her employ, as she now says, then she had me arrested falsely and damaged my character. If, on the other hand, I was not employed by her, but actually was stealing parts of her car, then she has just committed perjury.
Why, you...
In either case, Your Honor... She has committed a crime.
Judge, you're not going to believe this.
Well, now, Miss Miss Williams, Mr. Bannister has a point there. I'd advise you to explain yourself.
Oh, I never...
Well, my little schemer, the tables are turned.
Why, you horrid thing. I hate you.
Miss Williams, the court is waiting for your explanation.
Well, it was this way, Your Honor. I said I employed this creature because I felt sorry for him and wanted to help him get out of jail.
Then he never worked for you?
Certainly not.
Then you did commit perjury.
Oh, is perjury something bad?
It's a very serious offense, young lady.
Oh, dear. Well, as a matter of fact, Your Honor, I did employ him.
In what capacity?
Well, as a...
Chauffeur?
As a chauffeur.
In that case, you lied to the arresting officers and caused the false arrest of the two men. They're entitled to damages from you in such a case.
Damages? Well, just how do I...
By paying them money.
Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute, Judge. She's one of those women who thinks her checkbook can get her out of any jam. I won't take her money. I wouldn't give her the satisfaction.
Now, just a moment, Mr. Bannister. If you don't want money from her, just what do you want?
I want to teach her a lesson.
Oh, I see. And, young lady, you had Mr. Bannister jailed to teach him a lesson, did you not?
Yes, I did.
You're both determined to teach the other one a lesson?
Yes.
You're both quite angry with the other?
Yes.
Could it be that you're both in love with each other?
Why, that's ridiculous.
Order in the court. Well, that's just what I thought. I'll tell you what I'll do. Since both of you have charges hanging over you, I'll suspend sentence and parole you in each other's custody.
You mean I'm to see that she behaves?
Oh, no, the judge means I'm to see your behavior.
You're both to see that you both behave.
Well, is that arrangement for life?
Now that sort of an injunction would come from the department on the floor below this. It's marked Marriage License Bureau.
On the floor below, did you say, Judge?
No, that's right. You can't miss it.
Come on, you.
You can't tell me what to do.
I can, too. You're in my custody.
You're in my custody just as much.
All right, you tell me what to do, then.
Okay. Come on, you. We're going to the floor below.
The Chicago Motor Club's Wayside Theater presentation of Love in a Taxi comes to a close. Be sure and join the Wayside Theater radio audience again next Sunday evening at this same hour. And now I'd like to emphasize again the importance of the Chicago Motor Club's free booklet. Its very title suggests an interesting story. Spend less to own and drive your car. Now don't fail to ask for that valuable free booklet this very evening. It's yours without the slightest charge or obligation. If you live in Illinois or Indiana, send your name and address on a penny postcard to the Chicago Motor Club, Chicago, or its nearest branch office. In Chicago, simply call Franklin 1818. Tomorrow evening, ladies and gentlemen, you are invited to hear the Chicago Motor Club's weekly broadcast of the Parker Family at 6:30 over WBBM. In the cast of tonight's play, you heard our popular stars, Patricia Dunlap in the part of Jean and Olin Soule playing Larry. They were supported by Brett Morrison, Frank Dane, Herb Butterfield, and Bill Boucher. This is Vern Smith speaking for the Chicago Motor Club. This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.